What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for reboots, remakes, sequels, adaptations, and trying to answer the question of why we keep doing this, and if there's anything new or original out there, or if we're just in an endless cycle of IPs and ideas and nostalgia, and look at the thing. I hope it sets up the next thing so I can get excited about the thing. Yeah. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, we will be talking about the fifth entry in the Evil Dead franchise, Evil Dead Rise, which I keep saying rises because that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
But here we are. It just rises.
It just rises.
It's great. Like, originally,
No, it's like bread. It just rises. Then rises.
It's so interesting. I always hate when titles aren't real sentences sometimes. Or like, just do it.
One letter, guys.
It's like Star Trek Into Darkness. I was like, is it Star Trek colon into darkness? Or is it Star Trek Into Darkness?
But you're missing an article.
something's going on here, and I gotta know which it is. But yes, this originally was going to be a straight to HBO Max movie. David Zaslav, in his insanity, opted instead to release this in theaters. Probably actually a decent idea so far. I guess his whole thing is anything with an IP attached to it must be in theaters. The weird side to it, as we will get into, is that you can kind of tell this was going to be straight to streaming. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that we make movies differently for we'll talk about it, but we'll get into our thoughts of the movies. The idea of kind of that, I guess, theater worthiness. And then I really want to talk about if we are just spoiled by setting things up, because so much of this movie is so good. And in the back of my mind, I kept being like, but how are we connecting? And why isn't it connecting? And I want everything to connect.
Like, where's Ash? What's happening here? Which, yeah.
is also a little bit how I felt about The Mandalorian, but we'll get all into this. Terrence, what did you think of the movie so far?
I dug it. I had missed the 2013 Evil Dead, so I had to watch that one before going to go see this one. I didn't have to, they don't connect, but I wanted to.
That was the pitch for a while, was we're gonna have Ash at the end of the 2013 Evil Dead, and we're gonna do this multiverse story of we're gonna bring that in with Ash versus the Evil Dead, with the original Necronomicon and this one, and then that never happened.
And then that never happened. The hook for this was that creepy, the mom, you being the mom and the dead eye taking a hold of a mom and just her terrorizing her kids. I'm sold. Like, that alone was a hook for me, and it worked. It paid off. I enjoyed this movie. I think from start to finish, for me, horror films that really work. That's why I didn't like I like the 2013. I don't think it's a bad entry in this franchise, but the 2013 one didn't do a good enough job for me to care about the character before we started putting them through hell, where this movie did a good job of saying, all right, 20 minutes we're going to spend of just establishing these people. Sister, possibly pregnant. We learned obviously she is, and then her getting her motherly instincts as she's sort of going along. That's a good through line. Like, all right, cool. Now I have something to attach to. And the mom actually gave a damn about her kids. All of that established enough before we just put them through pure terror. And that's, for me, is when horror works at its best. So I think that is what took this, elevated this above the previous film for me. And I just had a good time. I think Alyssa, who's playing the mom, is just creepy and amazing at the same time. It's fascinating what she can do with just small little facial tics and obviously body movements. It's impressive. I think some of the shots in this are great. Some, we know that we're probably shooting this for a streaming device originally, but I think the fisheye scene through the keyhole is,
oh, that was
genius.
Awesome.
It's genius. Yeah, I love that. There's some stuff that made me, for me, who has been in these horror films for so long, to actually have a moment where I'm like, oh, that's a lot. Cheese grater is gonna just be in my head for the rest of my life. So when this was all said and done, I walked away and I was like, I had a good time. And I thought this was a good enough entry. It does not connect. Obviously, me wearing my Spartan stuff has been Michigan State. That keeps popping up in all the other previous films. Not a part of this. Doesn't exist at all. But I do think, as a franchise that has managed to sort of reinvent itself multiple times, being a comedy and then a fantasy comedy action, and then the last two being straight up horror, and even TV series, I think it has continued to sort of reinvent the wheel. And then I walked away saying, I had a good time, which I don't think I would have said with the 2013 one, had I seen that one in the theaters.
Yeah, I did not care for the 2013 one when I saw it. I thought that it was way more brutality over a character. And it's brutal. We're cutting the tongue in half. We're chewing on the light bulb. A lot of great gore and blood. If that's what you're there for, that's the movie. But I remember, I mean, that was really when remakes to me were just cut and paste of what we had done before.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sort of do that without the charm of Bruce Campbell or the campiness of the accidental campiness of the first one, and then the very intentional of two and Army of Darkness and Ash versus Evil Dead,
right,
which I don't think was out yet. To me, I just very much was like, oh, we're doing the Saw and hyper-violent. This is where we are in horror at the time. Yeah. Everything just has to be crazy and amped up and bigger than the last one. I don't dislike it. We do some new things and we do try to push the lore forward. This one is so good in its simplicity that it almost is annoying at times, where the big thing that didn't work for me, I guess spoilers, were the bookends. And this is also where we get into like trailers versus the movie, because those trailers, I thought we were going to be at that lake house the whole time.
Ah,
we rip that, you know, that scalp off. It's great. We're gone. We go backwards. I hate when we start a movie at the end. I'm like, oh, God, am I
halfway during the movie? I was like, Blake is going to piss. He's going to be pissed at this.
And like, you know, we didn't do what like Escape Room does or some of these other movies where it's the last kill or they get out and then we have to go back and see it. But it does have that weird streaming thing of like, we got to do something big so they stay. It felt like the way we design trailers in YouTube now, where it's like, if you don't get them in that 30 seconds, they're gone. Because then the rest of the movie is just such a deliberately paced film that is using a lot of like almost over explanation of some things. Like, we have the earthquake and then we have to spend all this time like, well, you know, because we're in California and we're on the fault line and we're here and no one else lives in this apartment building, it's very important that you know that it's dilapidated.
They said that three times, like, guys, we got it. Nobody else is here. I got it.
I was like, I get it. We need, because we're going to keep asking where everybody else is. So right. I get it.
So I do. Yeah.
It's about to be knocked down. We're here. The husband left. This is
in the building. Most of these places are empty. And I got it. Cool. Gotcha. Got it.
Yeah. A lot of over. Well, you know, there's a fire escape through the door that's locked and it has this on it. And it's because of, and there's a cat up there. We do so much like Maklov's gun. Is that what it is? Loaded in the first act, shoot it in the third.
Yeah.
We do so much. What's her name? Stephanie. And it broke and it's a spear now. And the scissors slid under the couch. There's a cat in the vents. And I was like,
happening so much that my brain was starting to track them all. I was like, oh, they're pushing the button on the gate. This is going to be a thing later. Got it. All of these things are going to be pieces that got it. Cool.
I was like, man, did they like write this movie backwards where they started at these? Well, if we're going to do this, it all needs to land. It almost felt like how a whodunit begins, where it's like, and here's where everything is.
Yeah. Like, we're going to give you all the players on the board and then we'll show you how it all worked.
This was originally a bank. So we're going to find this vault and all it's just so much. It was like, man, we are doing so much character work, but also so much like Home Alone setup that is. And then once we get going, we're going.
Yeah. It's off to the races.
And you're right. I love all the performances. We added enough characters because I very much was like, we're not going to kill these three kids. I was incorrect.
I also thought that, I was like, there's no way they're going to murder kids. They can't. Oh no, they're killing kids. Here we go. But it was also at that point, because I was in the same boat. I was like, well, there's only five people here. We introduced some neighbors. These people mean nothing. They're going to die.
Yeah, we have to bring in the neighbors. All the phones have to be dead. It's so much set up to get to what is very much a like one location horror movie, which is also where I very much felt, oh, this was an HBO Max movie. It's small. It's intimate. They probably, you know, spent a dime on it.
Yeah.
But man, the practical stuff is great. She looks so creepy. And the Deadites are just so, it is Deadites, right? I'm not confused. That's Hellraisers sometimes.
No, you're right. Deadites are great.
In a cell. Yeah. They're just such little pricks. The things that she says to her
sister. The stuff that comes out of their mouths, even stuff she says to her sister, the stuff that when the little girl, because I feel this was confusing to me too, but when the daughter, the middle child, alludes to her aunt being pregnant, and she's like, I'm killing the things inside of me. And then she's like, do you want to kill the things inside of you? And I was like, wait, do they know that she's pregnant? But then it wasn't until later where the sister's like sniffing her and smelling, like, oh, there's two souls in here. I was like, oh, now they're on to us. I was like, wait, did they know? Or when they switched bodies, maybe that part knew, but the other one did not.
I was trying to kind of put some of that together. And then it really is a contained movie, which is great because it is brutal. It's scary. We're shoving the scissors through the nose, ripping that dude's arm off, choking on the eyeball was my favorite because that was my like Evil Dead comedy. We got to do it.
I put a note down like, damn them kids. It's like, these folks is like, nope, we got kids. We're going to kill them. We're going to torture the crap out of these kids.
Oh, man. We brutalize two of them. We invert The Shining and drown one of them in blood.
Yeah.
And it was sort of refreshing to kind of walk away and be like, okay, well, there's no big like socio-political theme. There's not really a lot to like pick apart here. But I did keep being like, but we have to get back to the lake. We started at the lake. It looked like the cabin from one of them. Like the cabin looked familiar enough to me. And I just think that I've been conditioned to be like, but now what?
But funny.
What are we setting? We've talked about there's three Necronomicons. Is there now one from 2013, one right. from Evil Dead 1 and 2, and this one? Like, how did all this get here? Now it's in the bank. I'm like, what is this world? So I it's wonder.
Once they got to that garage, I sat there and I was like, oh crap, I remember this said one day after, like one day earlier. Somehow this is going to attach back. Like the girl, one of those people lived in the tenement building, and that's wound up what it'd be. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll take that. I'll accept that, I guess.
And there was no, I didn't stay, but there was no post-credit scene, right? There's no
I
like.
I didn't stay either, but no, I think that was, that from my understanding, that seemed to have been the end of it. But I didn't mind that because those characters were so unimportant to the main story A that they were telling me. It was just like, oh yeah, that the evil obviously is still continuing on. So no matter what they did in that building, yeah, sister and her niece are safe, but obviously evil still rise. Not rises, just rise.
Which is so interesting because clearly we could do a sequel. I know the director has this grand almost like Jacob's Ladder pitch where he's like, Sam Raimi's going to do one. I'm going to do one. And the director from 2013 is going to do one. And it's going to be these like vignettes. And we're going to get it all together. And I was like, I guess if you can do it, I'm here for it. Like that all sounds great to me. It's just so interesting to have this unimportant part of the movie and unimportant characters and just be done. It really, really shows me that we now like live in this probably overly conditioned world, or we have executives who are too worried, who are like, you got to do something big at the top. We got to rip our head off. We got to get to the scare. And then you can tell your little story and then just justify why we get back to the lake. And I'm like, sure.
And sometimes they don't.
But then don't put that in your marketing, because I was the whole.
Sometimes they don't trust the film. Yeah, because like, it's weird. I don't think they knew. Yeah, them switching this from HBO to theatrical got them all nervous. They're like, all right, we got to figure out a way to hook people in. I think the trailers alone did that. But then they were like, all right, let's put some of the trailers that have the camp stuff in it, which does confuse the audience because this all takes place on a floor of a hotel. I mean, of an apartment complex. So then they released a video of just Elaine when she basically gets taken over in the elevator. And that alone, like they put that on Twitter, and that alone, so you don't need to show anything else. All you need to show that and you're like, cool, I'm in. I don't think they quite trusted this film enough and they were showing some sort of wrong things. I think you probably would have come in this differently had you not seen any of the camp stuff.
I think it also just kind of makes you start watching the movie differently. Like, we go back a day and then it feels so deliberate that I did kept being like, well, hold on. Did I miss one of the daughter's names? Did I misread it? And this is supposed to be her daughter. Maybe it was like years ago.
I was checking. I'm like, am I missing a step of how this is one day? Like, why is this one day? And then once they got away and went down to the garage, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Somebody else is in that building list. Because I was like, this is too, they're just going to make this simple. I'm like, nope, somebody else is there. And it doesn't attach to anything that we've seen. So therefore, it almost felt a little like, we could have approached this a different way. Or just not had it. And then just, I would prefer, honestly, and I know this, like we say, they always want to do the hook. I would prefer, honestly, had they just packed the first end of it all, let it play through at the end. Like, let it go straight through. And then when that person rides, that's the end of the movie. Like, you just put all of that at the very beginning. Like, you see her going. It's like, yeah, I'm going to get my friend. I'm going to pick him up. You show a little bit of the drive out there. And then you show the day of what happens. And then you show her rising. And that's how the film ends. I'm like, that would have been played for me better because I felt like my brain was trying to. This is just probably me and you probably trying to be writers and like kind of.
I think that's how our audiences are conditioned a bit, though. At least online, yeah. Right? And I know, like, Twitter's not indicative of everybody, but I think a lot of, at least like fandoms, I'll say, if you're like really into the fanship and it is a big franchise, and especially if you're following it. So like maybe I am talking about specific people, but it's such a weird earworm to me that I'll use The Mandalorian also as this jumping point. Like that, spoilers for anybody, you've seen it. Yeah, I'm not going to ruin it for you, at least, Terrence. That ended, and I felt like so many, myself included, were like, okay, is that it? Or like season 4?
Right.
And I just feel like we used to let franchises and movies and stories end.
Tell their story. And then if we come back, we do. But we're not going to earworm you or put a scene in here to lead on. Yeah.
I was even showing like an episode of Mythic Quest to a friend last night. That's one of their like prequel episodes. They go back 10 years every now and then. And they were like, well, whose parents are these? And what is this setting up? And I was like, this is just a love story that they're telling.
This is how stories used to do. Yeah. Guys. They were just in this one story.
They just want to tell you a story for 30 minutes and it will kind of connect, but just go on the journey. We don't need to. Yeah. We don't need to be looking in the background and waiting for the post-credit scenes and what's the 10-year. It's interesting that we now are making movies with like, get them right away, even if it's pointless to the story. And then I also leave it. I'm like, but where's Bruce Campbell and the 10-year plan?
Right.
And I think you can get away with that. Is the Necronomicon in there? Where is it going?
This movie should act as an anthology. Like, I think the way that the 2013 one and this one, like, that's how they should treat it. But they're sort of playing this weird, are we or are we not? Now, Bruce is a producer on this, and I think his voice is one of the voices on that record player. Like, he's one of the voices that's warning the priest or whoever else is saying that's like to burn this book. So he's somewhere in there. He's still around, if you want to say, like, he's time displaced or whatever. He's still in there. But it's just one of those ones where you're like, guys, do it or don't. Like, outside of the Evil Dead, I'm fine with it just saying Evil Dead. You have the Book of the Dead. That's all. The Book of the Dead and Chainsaw is all you need for me to be like, cool, that's Evil Dead. You don't have to do these like, let's, are we here or are we not here?
Oh yeah, when she drops the shotgun, I really was hoping, because she gets her hand stabbed and I was like, ooh, is this how the Deadites go? Is she gonna have her like the hands gotta go moment? Are we gonna do it?
Yeah.
No, it's sort of how I feel about BioShock, where that BioShock Infinite starts and they're just like, there's always a man, there's always a lighthouse, right, and there's always a city. And I'm like, you know what? I dig when a brand can do that.
Yeah.
And a part of me, what this movie really showed me is that like the Evil Dead franchise can tell small, intimate stories like it did back in the day. And that they can be effective and we can care about the characters and we can do it. Doesn't need to be insane. It should be a little insane. But I was like, yeah, the recipe for this is just like, we found the book. We opened the book. The Deadites are dicks. And there's a chainsaw. Like,
yeah, that's all I need. Cool.
There's no,
like, this one, it just happens to have the whole story. Like, I fell in love with the Beth part of it. Beth being pregnant or realizing she's pregnant and her fighting in this one moment of like, I gotta save my niece. This is me becoming a mom. Because in theory, if she was really a prick, if she was the groupie slut that everybody was calling her, she would have just left once her niece was in that truck. Like, well, cool, not my kid. I'm out. She got the motherly instinct at that point. It was like, and that girl kept asking, like, are you going to be a mom? You'll be a good mom. I know you'll be a good mom because you're lying to me. Because I know shit is not good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah. Maybe I just need to work on it. Maybe I just need to reset back to like, and sometimes there are endings and I cannot be mad. I can't also be like, I miss an ending. And then it does end like, well, what are we?
Yeah,
because people now, like, you don't even invest in Netflix shows unless you know that they're getting like more seasons. It's so
People will, or people see something that got canceled, they'll be like, I'm just going to stop watching. Like, but there's still a story being told in this one season. You could continue this.
And I get it with shows because, like, Glow is an unfortunate case where I'm like, I just want the ending, but I am also glad I watched it. Yeah. Like, just give me something. Yeah. So it's very unique. It also is interesting when you get into, like, should this have played in theaters? And I guess we'll see what the box office says, but you can tell. At least I could tell. Maybe that might just be us.
It's going in the correct way. I think right there, it made $10 million on Friday, which is in line to make 23 if everything sort of holds and make around the 23, which I think for them to pick up and move this to, it was only $19 million to do total. So, like, they're in the green already. Like, this is, and it's scored, like, it's scoring well, better than the previous one as far as Rotten Tomatoes and cinema score. So, people enjoy this film. Like, this is for the horror fans, this is a good time at the movies to go see, and to still open up probably two or three with Mario still doing all the businesses that it's doing is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think when you compare, like, I don't know the budget offhand, but you'd have to assume 10-8.
Yeah, like, I think it's around the 15 million mark, it looks like, and then four to sort of move original, so about 19 total altogether to move it from its original spot on. One of the few things that Zaz did correctly is to take this off of HBO Max.
We'll see how Blue Beetle does.
And they definitely put that trailer in front of this. Like, guys, these are two.
They put, I wanted more horror trailers.
I was so pissed. I was like, guys, where's my horror? They were like, nope, we're going to Warner Brothers this the crap out.
I was like, what the hell, guys? I wanted to see some scary stuff.
Like, why am I seeing Beast Wars in front of this? What is happening?
Right, I know now? That The Flash is coming out. I know that Blue Beetle is coming out.
Yeah. I was in the same boat.
It's exciting. I like, you know, I like a good small horror movie like that. I do appreciate when we get really down and really intimate and into the family stuff. And
I love that it's quick. They don't make enough of these movies and we're going to get out. We're going to do setup and we're going to go balls to the walls for about a good 40 minutes and we're going to let you off the ride. And I hope you had a good time. And I did. And that's sort of, sometimes that's all you need.
I think that's usually how a good horror movie, instead of exposition, there's sometimes just like, and here are all of the things.
Right.
Like Ready or Not does it too. We just think we're just setting up all these pens.
Yeah.
And there is something very fun of watching a movie and being like, okay, well, we did that. Unlike the Friday the 13th remake, which famously had all those close ups of a wood chipper and then did not use the wood chipper. I'm still angry about
it. Don't set me up if you're not going to let me have it.
I love that remake so much, but every time I watch it, I'm like, you put that, it's right there. It's waiting to be used. But that is our show, guys, as it is very hot. And that's all I have to say about the Deadites and the Necronomicon. I hope we get more. I want more. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Get them in theaters. Put them on HBO Max. I don't care where it goes, as long as it's bloody and fun.
Yeah.
And you can, of course, leave us a review or a comment on YouTube or the podcast apps, Spotify and so forth. We're at Hollywood ADI on Twitter. I'm at, as always, Blake, and Terrence is at Terrence Tatum. And we will see everybody next time, because I know next week The Return of the Jedi is back in theaters, and then I don't know what happened, and then Guardians, and then we're in it.
Yeah, we're in it.
Great.